The Zohar HaKadosh is saying that whoever learns the Torah as stories is very, very bad, and they're written in awful curses there, to whoever learns it that way. The problem is that when you don't, even if you speak Hebrew but not so good, and you don't know the meaning of letters and meaning of roots of words, and you don't just have the essence to it, it becomes stories. Because every translation makes the text a story. And because when the name, let's take the name, my friend Yonatan Shlomo, one is a singer, a very good friend of mine, he once told me, Moshe, the name Moshe. Okay, so it's the daughter of Paro, Batya. She took him out of the river, and she called him Moshe. Why? Because Meshitiu min amayim, I pulled him out of the water. But you can't say in English, I Moses'd him out of the water. Meshitihu, it comes from limshot, is to take out of the something out of the water. And he, later on, can. This is already a symbol, but the basic fact that she called him Moshe is because Meshitiu, this action that she did. And from the other side, we know that the complicity of the Torah is only by translation. Okay, so you're not allowed to learn by translation only, but you must learn by translation to complete your understanding. Because before you make it a story, you cannot relate to it and live it and get more essences of the text that you get only with a difference. So we use the translation that it's told about that you must learn is the Unkalus, is the Aramite. Aramaic translation. But in that case, I'm not sure, I'm not someone to like make halacha out of it, but I'm sure that the deep intention of it is that each one needs to take Torah to his own language and to understand it in his life. This is one of the meanings of learning Chavruta. Everyone takes his own language, his own story, and we trying to get deeper by looking how everyone understand it different. So we get more and more and more clear and deep ideas out of the text. It's also the best need that we have to use commentaries is because they know all Shas. They learned all of the Gemarot, all of the ways how our Chachamim, wise first generations, how they learned the text, because they were even also closer to the time that things happened. But even more, they had the view which was they were different souls than us. So the way they learned the text is the right, correct way to learn it. So we use Rashi because he knows it all. He learned all the Gemarot, all the first wise people. So he gives us the right direction. And this is the way of Judaism. The fact that Judaism is built step by step. And you cannot understand, again, you cannot learn only your translation, learn it only as a story. You need to know what is the direction that wise people went all over the history, and to find what you need to add from your point of view. But you cannot do whatever you want with the text. And this is what separates reform movements from Judaism. This is why we don't follow this idea, because it's not Judaism at all, basically. This is also what Christianity did, what Shomronim, I don't know if you know Shomronim, whatever. קראים, there are sounds that follow only text. No wise people advise or wise people think that they took out of the text. Okay, so this is the first introduction to how we can learn Chumash according to my understanding when I need to teach it in English. We're in Parashat Vayigash. And this parasha, Vayigash, can that Yehuda approach Yosef, he came to him, came very, very angry because he sees that this kind of a crazy bureaucrat, basically, that is trying to drive them crazy. Hey, send them, no, bring me this brother, no, you will go to jail, you will be my slave. What do you want? What's going on here? But from the other side, they just like, I don't know, a few days ago they sat together, they ate, he invited him to his own private house to eat with him, drink wine. Something is too weird with this person. And the idea, this is something Marcus told me, that Yosef is trying to break them to pieces. And it's not out of revenge. It's because he knows that what they did to him is something that shouldn't happen between brothers, and it's because they lost something and they don't know and appreciate their own powers enough. So he's trying to break them to pieces until it's like someone that coming to me. It happens a lot because Baruch Hashem, I'm devoting my life to try to help people and to support, and people come to me and talk to me, tell me about the problems, and I'm trying to help them. And a lot of times you're listening to someone and I'm really fighting myself not to give advice before I'm asked to. So you're listening and I'm listening. Okay. And I see that the person is closing his own life. And this is the reason of most of his problems. Private problems. Sometimes it's problems, okay, someone is sick, B'ezrat Hashem, everybody will be healed. Sometimes someone is coming and is asking you, okay, so what should I do? And I'm telling him, look, maybe you can try this. No, but I cannot. So maybe you can pray on that. No, Hashem is not listening to my prayers. He's not able to get any advice, and he's not. The truth is that he's not interested in getting over and looking to the future. Stuck in the past. This is the truth in most of the cases of someone that just didn't take a decision. I want to change. I want to make progress in my life. I want to go ahead. I'm not looking to the past. It's a decision that each and every one of us must take. And if you're not taking this decision, no one will be able to help you. Never. Even if he's the most righteous man of them all. He can give you holiness, but you won't feel it. He can make you, but you won't be able to recognize. The real progression is when you progress. And a real tzaddik is someone that is leading you, but not doing things for you. This is also a real teacher, a real mechanech, educator. Because to teach and to educate is two things. And a real teacher is not a teacher, he's an educator. Someone came to Rabbi Nachman and told me, it's problems, and Rabbeinu just looked at him and he told him, you know, you're really incorrectable. I can't help you at all. You're just probably done. You're a closed story. It's over. So this person looked at him. No, why are you saying it? But I have hope. I can do it. And this is what he wanted to achieve. Yeah. This is, so you will wake up from inside and say, I can do it, it's for, of course. And sometimes you need to break someone to pieces so he will start revealing his own strength and his own character in his own direction to understand that he his own unique point. And the specialty that we see about Yosef in this parsha and also in Parshat Miketz, our last parsha, that he is perfect in that point. He's not stuck in the past for a breath, for a second. He's only just looking forward. Just, well, okay, so how can we fix it? Well, okay, it's a disaster, it's a catastrophe. Okay, so what's my next step? What is the small step that now we can make? Okay, I needed to break them to pieces. Okay, I'll do it. No, it. But how he gets to this point? What makes him an amazing leader and an amazing character like that? How does he do it? This is the new thing that I realized this year, and I was looking for it a lot in all of the books that I have at home. Also to find Yosef knows how to cry. Because you see in a lot of the articles, you just read the parasha and you'll see that he's crying a lot. All the way. In last parasha, he was asking, he just went to another room and he cried alone. And I thought that maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe he feels uncomfortable to... Okay, actually, this is a lesson for men, because women easily cry a lot easily. but it's not, because you need to know the right intention when you cry. And so I thought maybe he's embarrassed, maybe he feels that it's not but appropriate or something, not honorable, but it's not. Because in this parasha, in Parashat Vayigash, he's starting by hugging Binyamin, his like brother from his the same mother, and they just cry on each other, both of them. And then he's coming to all the brothers, and they're terrified because they know that he's a ruler now, and he has all the powers, and if he wants, he can kill them. If he wants, he can revenge in every way. They even see that everything that he made until this point to them, they see it as a revenge. He was trying to revenge. They don't know what was his plan, but how he was building them back to their own source, to their own roots, bringing them back closer back to their souls. They're terrified. And how is he calming them? He's starting to cry. And when he's crying, you can see it in the parasha. He's crying so loud that every Egypt can hear him.
Yeah, Egypt
heard. All Egypt. He's crying to all the country. What can we? The thing that we can learn from that is that the best, and basically, if you ask me, the only tool that we really have to help us get over the past and just and really start a new page in our life is crying. Is a real crying to Hashem. To really cry with all of your heart. And this is what I was talking before about intentions. Because when you cry because you're upset or it's so sad, it's so sad, it's okay. It's good to get into crying due to the action, but and it's the same words that you can tell Hashem. I have no one in my life, no one is helping me, I need you, but I don't see you helping me also, and I'm just stuck alone in reality. It's too big on me, I can't stand it anymore. You can say it simply as what you feel and being honest, like you talk to your best friend, and you can say it as whining. No one is helping me, I need help, and no one is helping. You're not helping me, you're not listening to me. What's the difference? Whining is when you didn't make the decision that you want to look to the future. you're stuck in the past and you don't want to progress. But you can say the same words as just opening your heart and saying how you're feeling. And this is the kind of crying that cleans you from the past and brings you the ability to renew yourself, to just make a restart. It's written in Kabbalat HaTorah on Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. Okay? Again, the nuance of Hebrew. It's written that no one was allowed to get closer to the mountain, only Moshe. And maybe Yoshua, his helper, was in the under the mountain. But all of the people was need to stay far away. And it's written, Peni hersu la'alot el ha'ar. Okay, so the meaning is, okay, they won't get closer, but yehersu, you can say also, pen itkarvu, that they don't litkarev, kirva is closeness, can, but yehersu, to destroy, is laros, is to destroy. Pen yehersu la'alot el ha'ar, if they will get closer to the mountain, it will destroy them, because they're not, again, it's not, they don't have the right vessels to contain it. They don't have the vessels. It's not about levels. It also, maybe you're right. It's not on the level. They didn't do the work that Moshe did with himself. It made him can. So it will it can destroy you. If you want something that you don't, if you will get something that you don't really want enough, it can destroy you. So you say, okay, I'm alone, no one is helping me, but you don't really want to change. And if you don't really want to change, if you will get what you want, it will destroy you. It won't help you. So we need to make this decision to change. So, okay, we have about, so I was looking about the idea of crying. It says, ויקול על צווארי בנימין אחיו, ויבק. ובנימין בכה על צוואריו. We have one of the first commentaries is Rabbeinu Bechaye. He lived around, the 14th century. Just after Ramban and Rashi, I saw him quoting Ramban. So the verse is saying that he fell on the neck of his brother Binyamin.
It's the same as Joseph and Esav.
Yaakov and Esav. And also we see Yaakov crying a lot. Even Esav is crying. It's coming from we have a deep root of. ויפול על צווארי בנימין אחיו. So, כן, his brother. So he's saying, basically, the fact that they were crying, it's written that Yosef fell on צווארי בנימין in plural. Plural is two? In plural. It doesn't have two necks. So why does it say in plural? So he says that Yosef was crying, and they took it as like the divine spirit and not emotional like me. So Yosef was crying about two temples that are about to be destroyed in the part of Binyamin, because the temple is in the land of Binyamin. Binyamin is together with Yehuda. And Yosef was crying about two temples that are about to destroy. And Binyamin was crying, Binyamin bachal tzavarei Yosef, on one neck of Yosef. So he was crying about the Mishkan, Mishkan Shiloh, that was in the Yosef part. Okay, you have Ephraim and Menashe, two tribes of Yosef. So I think it was in Ephraim part. And it was also destroyed, Mishkan Shiloh. He's really talking about the crying. Vayinashek lekol echav, he kissed all his brothers, Vayevka Lehemini, he was crying on them. He was crying on them. Not on the, not physically. He was crying on them. How did you do what you did to me? On them, not on himself. He was crying on them. How did you sin? How could it be? Aleihem.
So he's not stuck in the past, like you said.
Yes.
Because he did not say, why did you do this to me?
Ken.
But he said,
where are you?
Oh, yeah. Ken.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Where were you? Where did you disappear? How could it happen to you? So, as Rabbeinu Bechaye, Hodiam, she'en belibo aleihem, he just told them that he is not carrying anything in his heart on them. So he's not he doesn't have any grudge because he's crying, he has no problem with that. So he was trying to tell them that v'da'ato v'ratzono le'etiv lehem, and all his intention is only to make good for them. V'achrei ken dibru echav ito, and after that his brothers talked to him, because until that moment, this is what he's saying here, the speech was lack of speech. They were just too amazed and shocked, and they couldn't say anything because they were too terrified. But now, after they saw him crying, this is what he's saying. After they saw him crying, they settled down. Their mind was settled down, and they started talking to him. And the Midrash is saying, וינשק לכל אחיו, and he kisses all his brothers, teaching you that each and every one of them, he was kissing him and crying. He gave each and every one of them a private crying. It's amazing. And we're so far from that. We are so far from that. Just get over everything. You can fix all, because reality, what happened, it's done, over. But we're carrying something inside still. We cannot go to the past and fix it. We can go to the memory and fix it. We can only fix the memory. We can only fix the heart. And I thought about it also, if we talk about education and every professional, whatever profession he has, he needs the best tool that he can have. And if he's a real professional, he knows when his tool is not perfect, because he needs the slightest abilities of his tool. And if the tool is not perfect, he can feel it. So this story about the professional and his tool is a metaphor to a baby, to a new soul that comes to this world, and it's divine, it's holy, but it gets a body. It's stuck now in a tool. And when something is not perfect in its tool, she's just crying, screaming, all of it, everything. And we, a lot of times, most of the time, we don't have the spiritual tools, the emotional ability to accept this crying of a baby. We're trying to tell him, shh, no, shh. We're moving him, we're feeding him, we're stucking things in his mouth just to shut up. The thing is that it's a soul that is experiencing frustration now, from a broken tool, from something that is not, the body is hungry. Okay. So the soul is screaming. And I thought about it, that by us taking care only of the body, we're trying to shake the body, we're trying to feed the body, we're trying to shut up the soul that is screaming. All of the life, the body knows that he is the one that is more important. And we're creating that experience in his life. So I'm not saying if he's hungry, feed him. If he's feeling uncomfortable, take care of his comfortability. But don't forget that there is a soul there that was going through a crisis. And you need to find the right time when he's not angry and when he's feeling good to just let him cry and listen to him. Don't leave him alone in the room, cry. Hold him in your arms, Bezrat Hashem, soon, to all of you, and bless you. And listen to him cry. Let him cry. How would he believe in his prayers if no one ever listened to him? You are Hashem for him. Every father and every mother needs to know that they are God for his baby. He doesn't have the spiritual context of godliness. He knows his parents. This is God. I'm hungry, my mother will take care of me. I need an adult to take care of me. This is God. If you will listen to him, he will believe in himself when he's older and he will pray. He will really know that someone is listening to him when he's praying. Rabbi Nachman is bringing that crying in Hebrew, b'chiyah. B'chiyah. So he's saying that b'chiyah is Rashi Tevot of b'shimcha yegilun kol hayom. It's a pasuk, a verse that is saying b'shimcha bet yegilun yud kol hayom. The four letters of the word b'chiyah, crying, is coming out of a verse. It's saying b'shimcha yegilun kol hayom, in your name. We will be happy. Gila is a special happiness all day.
Yeah.
All day. When you know how to cry and when you cry the right cry, you're happy all day. I can testify, people, I don't know, my parents thought that I'm a terrorist when I did it. But we are letting our babies cry. And they can cry until they just pass out. This is how they fall asleep. You see that all day they don't cry because they don't need it. But this is why a child becomes needy. Why do you say needy? Because he needs to cry all day. So everything make him cry. And then what people do, they call him, oh, you're a whiner, you whatever. Names, and it just gets worse. All the emotional process of our life, it depends in if you can let yourself, you can be yourself. You can really be yourself or not. When you can be yourself, you can learn. You're open-minded. You're not distracted. Today, children in schools, they can't learn because they're totally distracted all the time. Why? Because of candies. Too much sugar. It's a flame of fire that burns nothing. Just craziness. Just not being able to be themselves because of what they will tell. If I will cry, if I'm this, if I'll be angry, So even if you're crying and you're feeling that you're digging deeper, you're progressing because you need to get somewhere deeper. Deeper and more, it's darker, it's frightening, but this is where the diamond is waiting, if you believe. So actually it's funny, Lefayes is to make peace. If you hurt someone, you need to go and to apologize, but not only to apologize and also to Lefayes, or to, how do you say, to please him. I don't know if to please is the right way. To really bring him back to happiness with you. You cannot just apologize, I'm sorry. You really need to get to the point. Clean. Rabbeinu Bechaye, again, go back to him, is saying that only seeing him crying was the thing that calmed him down. Also, in that way, the Geula is not, the Yeshua is not coming to Israel only out of tears. This is what he's saying. I was amazed.
Crying also has to do with laughing, right?
Of course.
They're very close.
Yes. You can cry out of that. I think it's very deep because crying is a tool. It's an emotional tool. This is what it is. And you know, there is, maybe I told you, I heard once that the tears that you have when you cut onion, it's not the same tears as when you cry emotionally. We understand that crying, it's two actions. When you cut onion, you have a very strong material that get into your eye, so crying is cleaning your eye. But crying is also, they say, Einaim Re'ila Nefesh, the eyes is a mirror to your soul. So the same cleaning that the eye is giving us also is the ability to clean the soul. So this is an amazing book of Ayehudi HaKadosh Mipshischa, Yaakov Yitzchak Mipshischa, one of the first Admorim in Hasidut in Poland. This is the Polish root, and we mostly get into the Ukrainian one, but this is the Polish. He's called the Holy Jew, Ayehudi HaKadosh, but his name is Yaakov Yitzchak Mipshischa. No. Mipshischa. Yeah.
But it's from Poland, right?
Poland? Yes. Sound very Polish, Pshischa. Pshischa. Okay. So, he's talking about the very special meeting between Yosef and Yaakov. When Yaakov coming to Egypt, it's written that Yosef is crying on his neck, but Yaakov, it's not written that he's crying. So he's saying, Rashi is saying that Yaakov was saying Kriyat Shema. Why? What's the connection? It's not a prayer time. It's not, you know, just see your son. So say, why not? So he says that the physical love of Yaakov, that he didn't see Yosef for so long, 22 years, and he was sure that he's dead also. Al ken, this is why eniach ota ahava bekriyat shema. He put all of his love inside Kriyat Shema. But it's your son. Why not loving him? Why did Yaakov pray instead of crying with Yosef when they meet after so many years?
If I hadn't seen my father in so long, and I'd sold him to slavery, and my brother sold me all these things the first day.
He doesn't know all of this story.
No, but I'm talking from Yosef's perspective.
Can he?
All of these things yes. have happened to him.
Yes.
And the first time he sees his father, who they have...
He's starting to pray.
This super special relationship that is so close, and the first thing that his father does is not hug him and kiss him and say, I love you. Like, to me, that would hurt so much.
You, because you have to request.
Yeah.
But Joseph did not have to request. He did not have French.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's seeing like that Joseph is like, that he's still like with Hashem. Like, because you could easily, like,
in Egypt, just lose the way.
And he saw him and was like, wow, I still see Hashem in him. Like, you are still one with
Hashem. Okay. Wow, amazing. Wow, beautiful answers. Let's see what he's saying. He actually, the amazing thing that he's not saying, this is only what he's saying, and he's saying the side of Yosef. But Yosef, he was keeping the mitzvah of kibud av, of respecting your father, but with his love. This is why he didn't need to read to say Shema Yisrael. I have a question, and you're answering a different question.
Yeah.
Yes, what are you talking about? This is the amazing thing about righteous people. I have a question, and he's already answered 50 questions before, and he's giving me the answer to the 51 question. But he's answering our question as well. Really, really, truly, even after when you're with your father, with the most, with your children that you love the most, with your husband, with not ashamed, the closest person that you have, the last breath at night before you fall asleep, you can breathe together. But to fall asleep, everyone falls asleep alone. Give his soul to the Creator. All of your feelings and all of your love supposed to be, and I'm not demanding it from you because I can't keep it, but supposed to be given to Hashem. And he felt such a, this is what he was talking, Ayah Ava Gashmit is physical love, because it's his son and he missed him and he loves him so much and everything. But he knows that the root of the connection between us is root of souls. So he felt such a strong emotional feeling, physical, that he said, okay, this is an amazing opportunity for me to give it to Hashem, to give my feelings to Hashem. So in the moment that he felt such a strong feeling, he said, okay, this is a good time to say Kriyat Shema. Because it's written, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha bekol levavcha, with all of your heart. So he felt all of his heart. So he decided to say.
I can actually understand that.
Now you can understand that.
I can understand that this, in that moment, his heart was so filled with love, and all the, like, it was probably almost just like an immediate reaction to just like bend over and say, yeah. Like,
can, exactly. And then he's answering what you were worried about.
Yeah.
What about yourself?
Yeah.
So this is why he actually answers you. He contradicted you and now he's answering. Now I understand it. But Yosef, why didn't... So if Rashi is totally a mystery, why, what are you saying Kriyat Shema? No, so now we understand why he said Kriyat Shema. But so, okay, now we have a new question. Why is Yosef not saying Kriyat Shema? He also was missing his father so much and he was also... So emotionally involved in the situation, why isn't he saying Kriyat Shema? And we know that he's a tzaddik and he's giving all of his emotions to Hashem and he's perfect in that. So what's going on with him? Aval Yosef היה מקיים כיבוד אב. He was keeping a mitzvah by loving and emotionally involved with his father. It's a mitzvah because you need to honor your father. So this is how he's being glued to Hashem in that moment. And he doesn't need Kriyat Shema because he was keeping a mitzvah of Hashem. This is the answer about Yosef. But he's crying, no? He's crying on it. We need to understand that the soul is a tube to the revelation of Hashem. So who is revealing Hashem? I reveal Hashem. You reveal Hashem. Is letting you choose in your life. And your choices bring reality. Nothing that we really can say about people, somehow it happened because of our choices in life. This week, I was talking to a friend that was whining a lot, and I was trying to convince that I really want to help. And I told her, look, if you ask me, I cannot stand your test. What you're going through, I can't understand Hashem how he dare doing that. If it was with me, I was kick him. I would want to kill him for doing that to you. It's crazy. But we're just babies. And Hashem knows that babies do mistake. We do a lot of mistakes. And the most important thing for Hashem is what we learn from Yosef and his brothers. That unity is above everything. Our unity is above everything. And if we even will hate him and stay united, he's happy. Like every good father. What you said reminds me of also one of the things, the chidushim that I had this week, an amazing chidush, Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave me an amazing chidush. Bechiya, like we said, it's the letters Bet Chaf, and then Yud Vehei. Yud Vehe is the name of Hashem, and Bet Vechaf is Becha, in you, inside you. When you really know how to cry and clean yourself, it's exactly what you said, actually. When you're cleaning your soul and clean yourself by letting you cry, yourself cry, and cleaning the past, you start feeling how Hashem is inside you. You're feeling the presence of Hashem in your life. You're starting to feel it. You're really starting to feel it. So Baruch Hashem, Yehudi HaKadosh, an amazing chidush he gave us. I will just tell you that Rabbeinu is, in his specialty, advices in Avodat Hashem, is just chasing Yetzara in each crack that is might try to hide. So he's saying that we know that saying Tehillim and to pray and to beg to Hashem and to cry to Hashem and to ask all of our needs and everything to Hashem is very, very, very strong, very, very important. And if you really, when someone is doing it, it shakes all heaven, all of the skies. It's just, wow, is listening to this person that is crying to Hashem with all of his heart, with all of his intention. This is how it is. But it's very, very bad is when your attention is given to the thought, when will I get the merit to cry? I want to say it with tears. When you're praying and you're waiting for tears, you're not praying. You're not doing what you're doing. You're not there because you don't intend to the text. You're just waiting for a feeling that you want to have. Rabbeinu is all every time he brings you to the point of truth. You're praying now? Pray. We'll cry. Bezrat Hashem. Will not. Hashem also is the one that is, you can pray on crying because you need to cry. But don't expect crying for prayers because you know that praying with crying is shaking all the world. It's nonsense. You're being stupid now. When you pray. If you need a good crying that will clean you, pray on that. But don't expect and wait, when will I cry? It's nonsense. You're not being where you're supposed to be. So, this is it for now. Baruch Hashem, Bezrat Hashem. Be'atzlacha, good luck.